This is Scott Berguin at KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, and we're going to check back in with Brian Bogart, who is about 2.5 days into his campus strike for peace that started on the University of Oregon campus this Monday. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how you doing, Scott?
Good. I'll just, because it's just the way I am, I'll let people know that, unfortunately, I'm asking you to go through this again. Fortunately, we didn't get too far before I realized we weren't recording it. But tell us how things are going here in the first few days on the campus.
Sure. It's going fantastic. We had a great launch event at noon last Monday, this Monday. Gave a speech right at the same time that Medea Benjamin of Global Exchange and Code Pink was delivering our petition to the White House. We gave a speech here to launch the campaign, and then we all marched over here to the administration building and climbed up the steps and delivered our petition, our copy of the petition, to the president's secretary. And then we answered questions from the top of the steps, and then walked across the street and set up our tent across from Johnson Hall, the administration building.
Okay. Now, I have read a couple of your updates that have come across on the email, and is it true that at this point you don't actually have the tent set up, or has that changed now?
No, they asked us, they came over with their law enforcement people Monday late afternoon and said that there was a mess up with the reservations. The reservations that we agreed upon followed the rules that were established, but the president's office here, like the White House, they're above the law, and if they don't like something out their window, they'll try and change the laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked us to kindly take our tent down until we can reach an agreement. And I said, okay, well, that's okay for the first week. You know, we'll talk about it, negotiate all week long.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing. And I just had I've been having interviews every day, meetings with the middle people who are the EMU schedulers here on campus. They're the ones who actually make the rules. And they're now trying to deal with the administration, who's trying to go above the rules, and with me, who followed the rules and made a decent reservation. So we just sat down and talked for a while, and they offered to give us the prime space, the best space on campus, which is well over there at EMU Amphitheater, right on the corner where everybody has to walk by on their way to lunch. But we turned them down because we really want to make a visual opposition to, you know, administration in general nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the proper place to do it. So they're saying that, well, we don't want you on the grass because it's bad for the grass. And, you know, I agree. So they're trying to give us the real nice prime space on the cement right near here across from Johnson Hall. So we're making a lot of progress.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, it is... Your focus is the administration, like you said. It's the
yeah.
issue. One of the issues is that the president of this university, just like the president of the United States, as you said, tries to go above the law, often operate there, but also particularly in terms of the military contracts on university campuses, including the University of Oregon, that you're protesting and trying to raise awareness about. It's the fact that the president has gone over above the head of the campus senate. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Is the campus senates have the ultimate authority at our campuses nationally, but the university presidents have gotten together and formed their own little club. Actually, it's pretty large, called the Association of American Universities. And without any authority, they go above the law to get research contracts, weapons research contracts with the Pentagon, because they're a lot more lucrative than from other organizations like the National Science Foundation and Department of Energy. So these presidents are working with the Pentagon to make a lot of money because it's really good for themselves as a group. And, you know, it brings money to the campus, which the money isn't available in our states anymore because that money has been diverted for war. So, broaden the awareness among campus senators across the country, we can challenge that and get education funded by educational groups instead. And I think it's very important to go back to education rather than, you know, making weapons on campuses.
Sure. There,
I've got a list at home now. It's almost up to 500 schools are making weapons in our nation, and more like military installations in universities sometimes.
Right. So I'm wondering if this research has been done. Where has there been much movement between university executives and into defense industries, or the other way around? You know, somewhat like we see politicians, particularly from the current administration on the U.S. level, moving from federal positions to to lobbying positions in a lot of situations of the same industry that they regulated when they were part of the government. Have you seen any of that at this point?
Yeah, actually, that's very true. I mean, there are people intermixing, you know, mingling with different agencies. You know, presidents of universities also sit on the boards of the top Fortune 500 companies that all make a lot of money with Pentagon contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, like I mentioned before, there are well over 300,000 companies working for the Pentagon. And, I mean, you know, all kinds of companies like Campbell Soup and, you know, makers of our underwear and Bumblebee Tuna. And the board members, the presidents of those companies also are university presidents in a lot of cases, or sit on the boards of universities around the country. And, you know, Defense Department officials, you know, some of them who retire happen to get these positions in lobbying firms, etc. And it's just a big mess, a big mix of businessmen make a lot of money, while the people's prosperity tends to suffer, and the focus is on military priorities rather than people when hurricanes come along, things like that.
Right.
So this whole idea puts all of us in the path of a storm of war eventually, with so many weapons being built every year. So that's what we're trying to raise awareness about.
Well, it really, it makes many of us, and I suppose a lot of us that don't even know it, we may work at a company or support a company somewhere along the line that is intertwined in this military-industrial complex. I think you mentioned that in the first time I interviewed you, that basically puts a lot of workers, for example, in the position of defending their company to save their jobs, and makes us all sort of makes it more difficult to speak out against the policies.
Absolutely. That's the, you know, that's the, unfortunately, that's the position. If you get a job working on a military base and you know, you're doing laundry or something, you know, it's a job and you need to support your family. And it's fine to have a military, you know, we need a reasonable defense. But when the whole nation is focused on global domination of resources and, you know, our weapons is our top industry, it gets really out of hand when those companies threaten to move and lay off workers, and the workers begin to speak out in favor of leaving these companies. You know, I mean, they really become attached to their jobs, so they become attached to the military industry. So it's a very confusing situation for a lot of people who don't understand that this is our number one industry across the nation. And it makes it all the more harder for average Americans to speak out against war or even find the facts. You know, there are very few people in the nation who have the time that I do. You know, it's my full-time job is researching the Pentagon, finding out what's going on. Very few people have the time to find out what's really going on in our country. So I'm trying to make all this information that I come across very simple for people to grasp in my outreach for the rest of the year. So that's a challenge, but it's very important.
Uh-huh. So what kind of response are you getting in the first couple of days with folks coming by? And
it's fantastic. Every single person, you know, professors, graduate students, undergraduates, every single person says, wow, I had no idea we were doing that on this campus. I had no idea there were like 500 campuses making weapons. It's just astonished at the threat that, you know, faces their careers in the future. So it's very sympathetic, and we're getting a lot of nationwide press, too. Noam Chomsky and Michael Albert and other authors and good people are giving us a lot of great help around the country. So we're getting also a lot of feedback from other campuses that are writing me saying, hey, is my school making weapons? And so far, all of them, you know, I have to say, yes, they are. They're on the list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the reaction is wonderful.
Well, that's great. And you have a petition for folks to sign that's directed, is it directed at both, is it same position directed at the President of the United States and the President of the university? Or is
yes,
there something?
Yeah, it's the same, and we're really just gathering signatures, so we can give people information at the same time. But the whole point is to inform people and gather public demand so we can all go to Washington next June and have a sit-down. Rather than go there to hear people speak, you know, we'll go there actually to sit down at the White House and demand a change in priorities with a massive demonstration. You know, we might have to risk a Tiananmen Square result. A peaceful, nonviolent demonstration. We might have to risk that in order to get the media to give us any attention. But we're the people. We run this country, and we're supposed to get attention whenever we have something to say, and we haven't been. So this is the only strategy that I can think of that'll work.
Well, it seems like an excellent strategy, and I guess the proof of it is in anything. We'll see. Part of it will be in how many people on other campuses, for one, join you, and how many people and groups in the broader peace movement also embrace the strategy as part of their larger strategy or whatever, you know, that comes to. So it's a big task you've taken on. It sounds like one of the great things about it is you have a lot of information right now and more that you're developing that you're finding ways to share with folks. And hey, if we're not educated, and there's the place to do it right there on the campus, right?
And it's important to do it this year because I have a lot of power this year as a graduate student. And the moment I graduate, you know, we're not going to have this opportunity as peace people. So I'm asking all people around the community to come this year and help out, because we're not going to have any edge after I graduate on this campus at all. We won't be able to do this because they're rewriting the laws, because what I've done is brand new.
Are you asking other students to strike as well?
No, I'm not asking other students to strike right now, because I'm symbolizing everything, and I'm just asking for their support. And we should strike next spring, though, and start taking afternoons off, and we should all go to Washington next June and take a whole day or a whole week off in front of the White House if necessary.
Okay, do you have a date in June at this point?
We're shooting for around June 10th, but that's just approximate.
All right, okay, that sounds good. All right. Well, we will check back in with you. We'll let you go because I know you got people coming up and going by, and those are the folks you want to focus on.
Thanks.
Appreciate your taking time with us, Brian.
Okay.
And good luck there, and I hope the weather holds at least until you get your tent.
Great. Yeah, well, we're going to set it up next Monday, I think.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, take care.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.